Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, now we come and we're going to open your word, Lord, and we're going to see the fact of the resurrection and the consequences of the resurrection. Lord, the fact is not disputed that you suffered and you died and you were buried. And Lord, men and women have given their lives over the centuries to witness the fact that you are resurrected, you are risen again, and you are returning to claim that which is yours. So, Father, I just ask that you accept our worship of praise, but also the preaching of your word this morning as a sacrifice worthy unto you. Lord, please remove me from this and let your spirit speak to each person as they would have. And in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. So, as we know, we come today to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is a must for all true Christians across the world. There is no faith without an acceptance of His resurrection as historical fact that carries an orthodox and historical meaning. Now, there are those within our churches today that declare that belief in the resurrection is not necessary to be a Christian. I got one very deep theological word for that belief. Brothers and sisters, you cannot be a Christian without believing in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, you must believe this as the core belief. We know from Romans 10 that you must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father and believe on your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. That is the resurrection. When He approached Martha, when Lazarus had died, and he said, your brother will live again. And she said, Lord, I know he's going to live again in the resurrection of us all. And he looked her square in the eye and said, I am the resurrection. Every time I see that, even in a movie, I get goosebumps. Because I believe that with all my heart. I've staked my eternity on that, as many of you have. On this question, there can be no compromise. On this hill, we must make a stand, fight, and die if required to do so. And Jesus said, as we just spoke, He is the resurrection and the life. And to believe anything else and not believe in the resurrection is to put your own soul at risk for eternal damnation. Folks, this ain't a game. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. His sacrifice paid the debt that we owe God the Father because of our sin. But God did not stop it there. You see, under the old Jewish system, the sacrifice occurred over and over and over and over again because what was done, something happened after you and you had to redo it. Jesus takes away all of our sin, period. That is not license. Don't mishear me. That does not say, oh, God forgave me so I can do anything I want. No. Because when He changes your heart and you no longer want to do those things. But it took His death and His resurrection to give us eternal life. So I want to talk about two things. One, as we stated, the fact of the resurrection. And then we're going to talk about the consequences. If you have your Bible, please turn to Luke 24. Verses 1 through 12, this is the fact of the resurrection. Hear the word of the Lord. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men, and He be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, good old Peter, and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. You see, that's the fact. Jesus went to the cross, and Jesus died upon the cross. And they took him down, and they put him in a tomb, a fresh tomb. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus and laid him in his own new cut tomb. And they rolled the stone and set a seal and set guards. Not enough. Not enough. Because at some point on that third day, they heard some very good music. And no, Brother Allen, it was not the Rolling Stones. But a stone was rolled away. And miracle upon miracle, the Lord Jesus Christ, beaten to a bloody pulp a few hours before, stood forth from that tomb by the power of the Holy Spirit. He'd been arrested. He'd been unjustly tried. He'd been sentenced to death. He'd been crucified. He'd been buried. Even extra-biblical records such as Josephus indicate that Jesus had been crucified under Pontius Pilate. It is a fact that He died, and it is a fact He rose again. So that morning, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and possibly others, went to the tomb to complete the burial process. Remember, when they laid him in the tomb, they were up against the Sabbath and they couldn't get everything done, so they went to complete the process. But when they went there, what did they find? The stone was rolled away. They didn't have to look for anybody. It was already open. And they go in, and guess what? He ain't there. Jesus is not in that tomb. We read in another gospel account where one of the Marys kind of tarried after the rest left and Jesus met with her in the garden, but we'll save that for another time. But the fact is, He wasn't there, and when they looked in, there were not one, but two men in shining white robes. And the first thing they asked Him is, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" You know, that's what preachers and proclaimers and sharers of the gospel do all the time. We're seeking those that are alive in Christ among those who are dead in sin and their trespasses. That's one way to look at it. But this way is much simpler. They expected to find a corpse, and they did not find one. Instead, they saw these two men. "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." That's why we say He is risen. And the response is, "He is risen indeed," because we believe it as a truth. I believe it just like I'm wearing a pair of brown shoes. It is a truth. But it's much more than a fact. It is a fact with meaning. Think on this. Almost all, as was brought up this morning, all other religions have dead men as their key teacher or their prophet. But we, the followers of Jesus Christ, proclaim that He, the only begotten Son of God, is not dead but is alive forevermore. This is a major and most foundational truth of our faith. Christ is alive. Present tense, alive. Believe you this? I do. As I said earlier, I stake my eternity on this truth. How can He reign forever and ever unless He's alive to do so? How can He sit on the throne of His father David unless He's alive to do so? How can He make intercession for us day and night at the right hand of God the Father unless He is alive to do so? All of those that proclaim that Christ is dead and buried, they're only half right to go along with our half wit. Because we cannot look at such miracles and such foundational truths and such understanding and belief and faith without saying there is something to this.
And if we ignore it, we do it to the peril of our own salvation.
You know, if somebody's staring down the barrel of a gun and they know that if they survive, it is because that God has made a way for them to survive. Brothers and sisters, He has made a way for us not only to survive, but to prosper and to have eternal life.
What is eternal life? Am I going to have to sit on a throne and pluck a harp for eternity? I don't want to do that.
Folks, think about that. What's your alternative? And that's not even what we're going to be doing. Now, yes, we're going to be praising God, but He's going to have us things to do. And we were talking about half-wit just a minute ago. If you know your only other option is going in the opposite direction where you're going to be separated from all sources of life and hope and love for eternity upon eternity, and you want that, you are half-witted. And this is one of the sermons, I ain't pulling no punches. I cannot understand, although I see evidence of it every day, I cannot understand how people willingly choose to walk away from Christ. What does Christ teach us? To love one another, to forgive one another, to help one another, to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to serve God in goodness and faith and righteousness and holiness. And that's bad? According to the world, it is. And if you want my opinion on it, refer back to that fancy seminary word I said a few minutes ago. You see, these women hear this announcement from these two angels and they run back to the menfolk who are still apparently hiding somewhere. Most of these people did not believe the women. That's verse 11. They thought they were idle tales. But Peter, and we know from the Gospel of John also, had to know for certain. Thus they ran to the tomb and saw the emptiness for itself. In fact, brothers and sisters, maybe some of you have had this honor, you can go to the Garden of Gethsemane, you can go to the garden in Jerusalem today and see an empty tomb. Now you cannot be guaranteed that that was the actual tomb of Jesus of Nazareth. Because folks, remember, that was just a rental. Okay? He didn't stay in there. So there's no way we can dig up bones or anything else. If you've heard any of that stuff in the past, folks, that's hogwash. Okay? That tomb is empty. And it has a sign before the door. He is not here. He is risen. Folks, Christ is alive. That is the fact. In fact, Acts 1:3 tells us that Jesus hung around at least 40 days before He ascended into heaven. He was seen by many. 1 Corinthians 15:5 through 8 says, at least 503, and proof that He was risen. Thus the physical facts are laid before you. But are they important? Absolutely. Folks don't go to the lions, or go to the stake, or go to the axe, or go to any other vile form of persecution without believing that something is true. And it is true. And so, Peter ran to the tomb, saw for it himself, and then went back. And it was only a little later, that's Luke 24:36, when the Lord appeared to them, and the fact of His resurrection was confirmed before all that were there. How does Jesus confirm the fact of the resurrection to you today? He does so by the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart. He does it by the working of the Holy Spirit in your mind. He does it by the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Is He calling you? Is He calling you? We mentioned this morning, we've got two believers being baptized into the faith and into this church next week because they have made a commitment before all to to provide evidence and proof that they are following the Lord Jesus, the commands that He gives. Now, does baptism save you? No. It gets you wet. Baptism does not regenerate you.
It is an inward work of the Holy Spirit, but the baptism signifies that you have given all, that you are buried with Christ in baptism as you go underwater, and you are raised to new life, eternal life when you come out. That is what it signifies. Almost all of us in here at some point have been through that. And when I see it, when I get to officiate, when I see it in other churches, all I can say is thank you, Father. Thank you that people are still willing to signify by what they do in public, in front of everybody, their belief in the actual, honest truth that Jesus is resurrected. Well, that's the facts. Let us talk about the consequences now. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 12 through 21. Verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then not Christ is raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they which also are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, that means just follow the moral teachings, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. You see, brothers and sisters, as Paul just said, if Christ is not raised, then we've believed in vain and we are to be pitied. But he is risen. Is. Present tense is. He is risen. Those that deny it, they have a secret love of something else, a particular sin in their life, a particular way of living, a particular other religious belief, whatever it may be, but they deny it simply because they don't want to believe it. Christ is risen. He stands risen. He remains risen. He's coming back risen. And he's going to stay risen for all eternity, as we are also who are in him. Like I said, even in Paul's day, some preach there's no resurrection. And that is the beginning of the old heresy of Gnosticism that says physical and evil and only spiritual is good. What does that mean? Well, you remember when Paul was talking about on Mars Hill, he was talking with all the Greek philosophers and stuff, and he got to talking about the resurrection, and that's when they shut him up. They were all real listening to him, but the second he brought up the resurrection, they started laughing at him and jeering at him and shutting him up. Why? Because the Greeks, the philosophy, the Gnostics, they believe that a physical body is inherently evil, and that nothing that is good can be physical. The only good things that are out there are all spiritual. Therefore, Christ couldn't really be a physical man. He only appeared to be a man. He was a walking around ghost. That's what they taught. But anyone that denies that Christ came in the sacrificial flesh denies God. That's 1 John if you want to look it up. You see, Christ only appeared risen, for he never really died. How can a spirit die, they taught. This implies that our sins are not forgiven or even atoned for. And again, hogwash. Even worse, if there is no resurrection, then we preach against God and we're doomed because we say, oh, this man claimed to be God. He claimed to be God the Son. He claimed to be God his Father. Oh, if he's not risen from the dead, it doesn't mean anything. He's just some crazy guy that was talking. And those of us that preach the Word are found to be against God the Father himself. But that's not true. That's not true. We know that Christ is risen based on our faith and based on the truthfulness of the Word of God and the knowledge given to us through the Holy Spirit.
And if the resurrection was not true, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be with us, would He? Because remember, Jesus had said, I have to go someplace and I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Paraclete. I'm going to send the Spirit of God to be with you and in you. But look again at verse 20 and 21. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Paul said, all that I just said, that don't mean anything, because Christ is risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. I'll explain that in a minute. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. You see, man is the reason we're in sin. But man is also the reason we have forgiveness and resurrection. That man is Jesus Christ. Look at the words I just read. The fact of Christ being risen is confirmed, and the meaning of the consequences of that fact are briefly given. Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. This means that He is the first truly resurrected person. Now, yes, there had been some other people that were raised to life, resuscitated. They were truly dead, but they were brought back to life. But they died again. We see that a couple of times in the Old Testament. Even in Jesus' day, Lazarus, he was raised from the dead, but he died again. The widow of Nain's son, he was brought back to life, but he died again. Jesus is the first one that ever died, came back to life, and stayed alive. That is the resurrection. He is and remains risen from the dead, and in this He grants those who follow Him in faith everlasting life. It is because of that resurrection we will live eternally in the presence of God. For whomsoever should believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the promise. Does God lie? No. And if that is a promise from God the Son, that means that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And as Paul states, one man brought in death. Who is that? Of course, that was Adam. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But one man brought in eternal, resurrected, not to be undone, everlasting life, and that is Christ the Lord. The Lord went first. And we who are in Him by grace through faith will receive that eternal life either when we go to meet Him or He comes to claim us. But we are going to receive, in fact, we have already received everlasting life. Let no one deceive you. It is God the Son who gives this gift by the power of the Holy Spirit as a gift from the Father. You don't believe me? Check out these two texts. Revelation 1, 17b and verse 18. Revelation 1, 17 through b, 18. Jesus, the risen, resurrected Jesus is speaking. He says to John, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Our resurrected Jesus has the keys to life and death. And those that He gives eternal life to will never taste death. Physical death? Yes. For His appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. But eternal death? No. We are more alive in the presence of Christ because we are with the source of life than we were ever walking this earth. That's when I preach funerals for those that are in Christ. I speak in the present tense, never in the past tense. I speak as if the person is alive now as they are in the presence of Christ. And I say at the end, I'll see you in the morning. Because on that day when the dead in Christ shall rise, when the trumpet sounds and He comes in the eastern sky, we shall all be together, both living and dead, forever with Christ. Amen? Amen. The second text was 1 Peter, good old Peter again, the one that ran down into the tomb to make sure it was empty. He said this in 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope
by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Two, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You see, that lively hope, that inheritance that doesn't fade, that is undefiled, that is incorruptible, that is in heaven for us, it is given to us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The consequences, the facts have been established, and the consequences have been read. God the Son, Jesus of Nazareth, is God. He's God the Son. He died on the cross to pay our sin debt and was raised to new life forever and ever. Amen. And in that resurrection, we have our hope for eternal life in Him so that we may spend eternity in the presence of Almighty God. Can't you see this as truthful and joyous? This is something really to celebrate. Yes, I love celebrating Christmas. I love the ornaments and the scenes that remind us of the birth of Christ and everything. But the one picture at Christmas I love more is the manger with the shadow of the cross. Because without the shadow of the cross, the manger don't mean squat. Anybody can be born. And if God allowed His Son, who was born by the miracle of the virgin birth, to just die and go away? Not much of a God, is He? The rest of them did it. All those false religions and false teachers, yeah, they were born, they taught some good things, and then they died, and that was it. But only Christians know that that cross overshadows that manger because that baby grew up, lived a sinless life, took care of His family, and then at a certain point when God called Him, began a ministry, and He preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And He called followers to Himself, and yes, He was arrested for no reason other than jealousy and covetousness. And He was beaten and scourged and crucified for our sake so that His blood would atone for our sins. And He was laid in that cold, dark tomb with Roman guards and a seal upon it. But brothers and sisters, He is risen. He is alive. They had an old song back in the 70s. Dolly Parton did it on the country music show a few years ago called "He's Alive." He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive and that chorus repeats and repeats and repeats. It is true. It is true. The world languishes in legalistic and mythologically based religions. They believe in legends and myths. No, we believe in the truth. Christ offers that truth and He offers life to those who return to Him in repentance and faith. Have you done so? This truth isn't going to help you unless you believe. Believe now. Believe in the truth that we have laid out this morning. How can you, knowing this truth and the love of God which made it possible, turn away from it and follow that broad path which leads to destruction? And brothers and sisters, there may not be many of you in here like this, but there are those that are listening and those all over the world that choose to follow that broad path, knowing it leads off the edge of the cliff. We choose to follow a resurrected and living Lord. The resurrection is fact, regardless of what some anti-theistic idiot tells you. The resurrection is true, as professed and martyr believers have proclaimed from the time of Jesus until this present day. The meaning and the results of the resurrection are shown today. Let me put it to you this way. If atheism and false religions are so wonderful, where are the crowds and the thousands and the millions of people that says that kind of belief has saved me and helped me live a better life? Show me! You might have a few gatherings here and there that proclaim such garbage, but look at their lives. But then again, you look at the billions upon billions of believers who have put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and you ask them, has Jesus helped your life? Even those that are martyred will tell you, yes. Yes.
Why? Because he is risen. Can overt hedonism with its addictions and immorality give eternal life? No, no, no. Can atheism itself give you eternal life? No, 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 no. It's funny, about 2 years ago, they had a group. They were going to form an atheist church. Don't know how you get them two together, but they formed a little group and they sang secular humanist hymns and they had lunch together and stuff. You know how long that congregation stayed together? 6 weeks. Because they had nothing in common other than their sin. It didn't work. It was a failed experiment. Why? Because only God is the glue that holds us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know that that is not only for now, it's for eternity. If you go around thinking, okay, well, I'm going to be dead in a couple years. I might as well just live it up. I don't need to go to no meeting. I don't need to sing. I can just do whatever I want. And I'll be dead and I'll be worm dirt. That's the way a lot of people think. And it is wrong. I could say in here, I could give an example or a time of testimony, and I believe that we would have more than a few stand up and say what Christ has done in their lives to save them spiritually, physically, emotionally, whatever it may be. Thus, this Resurrection Sunday, we must stand in that long line of witnesses that stretch from Golgotha to the present. Let the hallelujahs, and we sang hallelujah this morning, which I thought was strongly appropriate. We must let the hallelujahs ring out from then until now and into eternity. We don't stop now. Just because we know the truth, we don't stop praising the Lord. We keep on. And we sing the hallelujahs, and we say praise the Lord, and we shout the amens because it is our acknowledgement of the truth of the resurrection. Praise be to God and to the Lamb for the fact and the gift and the results of the resurrection. Romans 10 tells us, as we stated earlier, to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead. That is, believe in the resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. Believe thou this? Do you believe? That is the question and the answer that I leave you with this Resurrection Sunday. Praise team. Brothers and sisters, it's very simple. You believe or you don't believe. You accept the truth of Christ or you accept the falsehoods of the world. What are you going to do? This morning you have an opportunity. You're going to have an opportunity to follow Him in faith, to reassert yourself as a child of God in your own heart and mind. We used to call that rededication, but I believe once you've been dedicated, you're done. You're dedicated. Okay? But if you've walked away from God, there's always time to come back to Him because He hasn't moved, brothers and sisters. And if you feel led to come and pray and renew your commitment to the Lord, God be with you. But if you decide to go away, to ignore and reject such great a salvation that God Himself offers you, it's on your own head. You can't get prayed into heaven. You can't get wished into heaven. You can't be lightheartedly joked into heaven. You have to make the commitment to believe and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, we got a baptism next Sunday. Come on in. We'll make a pool party out of it. All right, we'll get you wet, but you've got to profess the faith first. Because that is for those that profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believest thou this?